Hello, good day, and welcome to We the Meeple, the monthly board gaming podcast where we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we love board games and they are fun. I am your host, Corey. With my two co-hosts, we have Joseph.
Yo, yo.
And we have Cody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. And I just want to say thank you. We had a ton of downloads and listens, and it felt really good to see that. And I hope that you continue to listen, and we provide a great episode this month. So let's jump right into it. We start off with one good thing. I'm going to ask you guys one good question. Now, I was listening to the Secret Cabal Gaming Podcast, which is my favorite board gaming podcast, and they brought up a topic of the World Series of Board Games. Now, I had sent you guys this link. Joey, you looked at it. Cody, you did not. But I thought it was very interesting because we do a little board game tournament amongst ourselves where we pick a bunch of games and the winner gets to get a board game from the other two. Cody, you're real big into the World Series of Poker, which takes place in Las Vegas. So now they have the World Series of Board Gaming in Las Vegas, where you can pay and buy a ticket and join a tournament for one of 16 games. And the grand prize is like $25,000 if you win one of these. So it's kind of a really cool thing. Now, I want this to be kind of quick. I don't want this to be a whole discussion, but there are 16 games on the docket. And you can buy a ticket to play one. You can buy like $450 to play like four different tournaments. I'm sure there's one where you can play them all, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to name the 16. I want to know if you guys would have a shot at any of these and which one would you pick if you had to try to win one. So here we go. We have Seven Wonders, Acquire, Azul, Blood Rage, Brass Birmingham, Carcassonne, Catan, Dominant Species Marine, Dune Imperium, Gaia Project, Great Western Trail, Ra, Splendor, Terraforming Mars, Ticket to Ride, and Wingspan. Before I ask you which ones you guys would pick, do you think this is a decent list?
Yeah. I don't know a few of them.
Yeah, I don't know a few of them too, but
All in all, I think they...
couple classics in there, a couple new ones, it seems like. Yeah, it seems pretty good.
Good mix, I would say.
Yeah, I was very surprised when I heard the list because I thought it'd be like Clue, Monopoly, sorry, maybe Catan because it's like a popular one. But there's some really hardcore games in here, really games that are like deep thinking games. So yeah, cool list. And like I said, with the topic, Joe, you get one ticket to this thing, all expense paid, your flight is paid for, and you're going in there to win $25,000 because you need life-saving surgery. Which game are you picking?
I probably, just based on the luck factor, I'm picking Catan.
Wow. So you think...
because I feel like you could get a little lucky in that game and get a little... I played Catan on my phone a lot, and it's a lot of it's a little luck, too. I mean, if you just learn the basic strategy, I feel like you can pick it up pretty easily, and then if you get a little lucky, you might be able to win.
That would be my pick. You're not going with one that you think you're just absolutely the best at. You're like, hey, I got a shot because everyone has a shot.
That's the problem. I don't any of those games. I feel like I have no shot. Maybe Ticket to Ride too. I play that on my phone too. That might be something. But to try to beat those guys, I don't know. I'm not in that level.
Right. Code, you heard the 16 games. Did any of them stand out for you as a game that you think you could go in and win?
I have no shot of winning any of these.
Any of them? No.
But the game I'm going to pick, I feel like you could develop a strategy over time if I played long enough. And that game is Seven Wonders. Really? I like those type of games. You can develop, I think, a good strategy if you play the game long enough. You know, and you know what cards work good with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you pick which ones you want, and it seems this strategy works a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's less involved than as in, like, like any other board game. You know, you keep developing a new strategy as you're going along. This one is, if I got a strategy in my head, I feel like I can, you know, do it and try to win. You know, so I feel like, to me, that game would be the easiest.
That's very interesting because, I mean, it's not the oldest game on the list, but it's it's got to be at least 10 years old at this point. So there's people that have probably been playing it for 10 years. So
right, but I feel you would go with the
easiest one to make a dominant strategy and sticking with it and just practicing for the, I think it comes, yes. I think this thing's in September. So,
yes.
Okay. Wow. Do you guys know which one I'd pick? Cause there's actually
Wingspan.
Three or four or five.
Wingspan.
Absolutely. Wingspan. I wish
Blood Rage.
Time. Wingspan. No, I'm not that great at Blood Rage. Wingspan all day. I almost win every single time we play. Obviously it doesn't translate to best in the world, but same thing.
Why don't you go test your luck?
I know the game backwards and forwards. If I looked up the best strategies, I know I could perfect them. So that would be the one I would go with. Like I said, kind of as a joke, you know, hey, we're going to fly you out. Would you guys ever be interested in something like this? Like, obviously, Las Vegas, that's a trip for us. We're in Michigan, but, you know.
You do whoever wins the board game tournament buys the other people a ticket and flies them out.
How much is the ticket to get in?
I believe it's $250. One ring event, $250. You get to pick one game.
How many people are in the event?
I don't know. I mean, it's however popular it gets. You know, I think they do one day of that game, and then you come back for a Saturday or Sunday, and you do the quarterfinals and finals.
It's just winner take all?
I believe it is. I don't know the exact. Let's see. Let's look at prizes. $25,000. And you get a bracelet. So it is like World Series of Poker. You get a bracelet for winning. Actually, second place is 10 grand, third place is five, fourth place is 1,000.
That's not bad.
That would be pretty awesome just to try once. I feel like we would get dominated. I think there's no way. Those guys probably play so much, but.
But do they? Like, that's the thing. Like, we think, like, board games is not a career. Like, poker is a career. Like, obviously, if you go into poker, even though it's a lot more luck, it's like, well, that's those people's careers. Board games is a hobby. No one's sitting around playing Wingspan as a career right now, you know? So it would be like people like us, you know? Like, I played a lot of Wingspan. I played probably over 40 games of Wingspan. Now, that's not a huge amount in the grand scheme of things, but there's probably a lot of people like that.
I mean, it would be kind of cool just to see where you're at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah. And a couple things. I think if I was like, say, in Las Vegas for something else while this was happening, yeah, throw down the 250. Have a good little time. See what happens.
I wouldn't plan a trip just to go, but if I was in there and it was already there, you know what I mean? I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I got an extra day or two. Let's do it.
And like one more thought before we leave it from this point. I don't know if I would want to put that kind of prize on a board game. Because we do the board game tournament, and that is honestly the only time I ever get, like, emotional when playing a board game, you know? Like, when we played Kemet, I was for real upset. I was ticked. And that's because there was a board game on the line, you know?
Yeah, so $250 is a lot of money.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, man, $25,000 on the line. I think it would almost ruin it for me.
Plus, if it was us three, I'd want to pick the best board gamer to go, you know what I mean?
You're right.
So we have a shot. You know what I mean? If I win, I get lucky and win or something in the tournament. Oh, gosh. You know what I mean? But, you guys just wasted $250. But
hey, you never know.
Yeah. But yeah, that's really cool, man. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it'd be interesting to throw up there. Obviously, we're still doing our Wheel of Destiny discussion. But instead of the one good thing, I wanted to bring up the World Series of Board Game and see what you guys thought. So, let's jump from that into our Wheel of Discussion. As always, each end of episode, we spin a Wheel of Destiny, and it decides what topic we talk about. And we were blessed this month because we got to talk about gaming length. Yes. No. This is actually a little bit more intriguing than I think it is, guys, than you guys think it is. Because gaming length is so important, and I think it's fluctuated as we've gone on. Let me just start off. What's your perfect game length at this point in your life? Joe, I'm going to be asking you, Joe, first a lot because now you're on the left side of my screen. So,
gotcha.
Perfect gaming length.
Perfect gaming length is, for me, probably an hour. Let's just say an hour. Hour to hour and 15 minutes. That's okay. My perfect gaming length. If it goes over that, it's a little too long.
Coach?
I agree. Probably an hour, hour and a half. But I don't mind longer games. I don't mind shorter games. But probably hour, hour and a half, I would agree, is you can get a, probably another board game in, you know, in that time. So
yeah, I this isn't going to be short. I'm not going to just leave it at this, but yeah, I think my perfect length is probably an hour and a half. It feels like it's definitely not too long. You know, you can get enough of a meaty experience. You know, if you're playing for an hour and a half, hopefully you're getting to make some decent decisions and make a strategy and develop that strategy throughout the game. So an hour and a half is definitely good. I think at the beginning of our gaming hobby, though, I preferred a lot longer. Like if it was 3 hours, I was like down for it. To me, that meant like, oh man, we're getting the best experience possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. See, like I said, I don't mind a long game. Like I know Joey's not a huge fan at all. Like, but to me, I usually stay intrigued throughout the whole game. Like, you know, constantly thinking throughout the whole game, you know, like I don't really ever get bored. But I mean, 3 hours is a long time to play one board game. Obviously, so, we've done it before.
So let me ask you, Joe, like Cody kind of called you out there, but I think, you know, I know the same thing. You do enjoy 3 hour games. It's got to be the right 3 hour game. But why would you say like you don't want to play a 3 hour game? Like if I come to you right now, I'm like, hey, Joe, this game's 3 hours. You kind of probably get a little wary to start off. And why is that?
Because it's my attention span. I don't know. It's just like after about 2 hours, it just I'm just done. You know what I mean? I'm just like mentally checked out. And then like now I know I'm probably not going to win that game because I'm mentally checked out. You know what I mean? So now it's like, now why am I even trying in this 2 hour game when the last 30 minutes of that 2 hour game, I'm going to be mentally checked out. It's just something about when the game's a little bit longer than I would say if it's after 2 hours, it's like, it's just not the game for me. And I don't know why. It's just, it's just, like I said, it's just the way I am. Just, I don't know.
All right. Not to put you on like a stand here or anything, you know, like on trial. What's the difference between like a 2 hour game or 2.5 hour game and say 2 hour and 15 minute games? Is it just that change of scenery, change of board, change of art? Like it's like, okay, it reinvigorates you. It's maybe a different mechanic.
Yeah, it definitely makes me. I was just going to bring this up. I like the kind of the quality, like not the quality, the quantity. Like I like to play a few more different games, like you said, just the different type of board game, different type of thinking. If you're thinking mm-hmm. the same way the whole time for 3 hours, that just gets
exhausting. It gets exhausting. What it gets.
Exactly, and gives me headaches and gives me stress. It's just when you're thinking about different things, then you know what I mean. Then it, like you said, reinvigorates me, makes me more interested. That's for sure.
Let's jump back to Cody, who can take an hour and a half game and make it 3 hours. Code, why would you say 3 hours isn't your favorite compared to an hour and a half? A little bit of what Joey's saying, the same
thing. Yeah, no,
on a little bit of a lesser level.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I agree. It's just, you know, I do enjoy playing multiple games, but, you know, I like I said, I like a 3 hour game. First, I would play a 5 hour game if it was interesting enough. No, for real. Like, you know, as long as the game keeps me engaged and I feel like it really sucks when you're playing a game that long and you know you've already lost.
Right.
And then, you know, like Joey said, then you're just sitting there like, what am I doing? Like, I've already, you know, I just want to give up. Like, I've already lost. But if you're in the game and you're, you know, it's just, it feels like a marathon. You just want to, literally, you're trying your hardest to win. So to me, I really enjoy long games. I know we haven't played much of them, like super, super long, but we played enough to where I wouldn't mind playing more long games like that. But, you know, it stops me from buying game, at least one game.
Go ahead, Joe.
I would like to bring up a point. The problem with longer games is it feels like it's not always engaging you. Like, so it's like you take a 10-minute turn and then somebody else takes a 10-minute turn. By the time it gets back down to you, it's been 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem with longer games to me. It doesn't keep you engaged.
That's a great point.
It doesn't keep you engaged enough.
A lot of longer games have the thing where it's like, hey, it's this player's turn and he has to think for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And like there might be five players. So that's a good point. A lot of times those longer games, you don't see a lot of longer games where it's like, hey, everyone's acting at the same time because those games are naturally shorter.
Yep.
And kind of going back to what you said, Code, you didn't say it exactly, but it kind of felt like you were kind of saying this, like about you liking longer games. I think more than like what we prefer, the 1 hour and a half games, if a game maker can make a long game that does those things that a shorter game does, we have no problem. You know, because like you said, if they can keep the action engaging and keep it to where no matter what you're doing at the beginning, you still have kind of a shot at the end. You know, you can have time to make yourself up because, you know, we've all played games. Code probably for you is Food Chain Magnate, where that's a 4 hour game. And I would say after an hour, you probably knew you weren't going to do anything. You said you had a plan. I don't know how long you were trying to get that game to last, but you claimed you had a plan.
I had a plan.
I don't buy it. But yeah, and I love long games too. Like, I'm pretty sure the top of my list, my top 10, has probably more longer games than shorter games. You know, I really like those meaty worker placements or, you know, action selections, stuff like that. We talked about a lot of long games. What's your opinion on short games? Like, let's say 45 minutes or less. Is there a lot of super quality, deep games to be had from that kind of time frame?
Deep games? If you're less than 45 minutes or 30 minutes, it's usually a party game, which is fine with me. I like party games. That's why I kind of like the shorter, more strategic games. That way we can play one game of that and then a nice quick party game. When you play that 2 hour, 2.5 hour game, you're only getting one game in for the night, usually.
Right.
But as far as deep games, there's not usually many deep games for less than 45 minutes. None that I can think of.
Yeah, I agree. I don't, there's nothing on the top of my head where I can be like, yeah, this game, you know, makes you think for 45 minutes straight, you know, to where you got to come up with a good strategy and all that. I don't think so. Yeah, most of them are party games.
I'm sure there's a few. I can't think of any, but I think I'm looking at one right now in my game room, For Sale. Now, that's definitely not a party game, and that's also probably only like 20 minutes. So my thought process, and I could be totally wrong, I feel like maybe shorter games that aren't party games maybe focus on one mechanic only, and they do that well. We see a lot with the bigger games. Hey, you have bidding, you have worker placement, you have deck building, and you take all these things. The smaller games might only do one of those, and it does it pretty well. Now, like I said, I can't think of too many. Cole, were you holding up your hand for me?
No. Okay. No,
that's a good point.
What about Seven Wonders? That game's not that long, right? I mean, and that game's somewhat strategic with the cards you got to pick and all that. You know,
and it's just deck building,
kind of going back to Corey's point. It's all just deck building,
and everyone acts at the same exact time. You know, there's no waiting for turns. It's like we're all going now. If you get someone slow, yeah, of course they can slow it down, but yeah, that takes one mechanic. It does it extremely well, and everyone's moving at the exact same time. And that's what it takes to make a shorter, really solid board game.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's why I like the shorter games, because you're always engaged in them shorter games. When it gets to the longer games, it's kind of tough to be interested and be engaged with it.
And the shorter games, I think you can deal with a lot of bullcrap. So take that, you know, or like stealing stuff from other players, or like really hurting someone else. Like, you can't do that in a long game, because if you're playing a game for 3 hours and someone screws you over, you feel it. You get hurt. Yep. Your feelings get hurt.
I literally spent 30 minutes thinking of this strategy, and then you really just screwed me. I agree. That's a great point.
But short games, it's like, it's funny. Yeah, you know, whatever. It's like, you got me. Yeah, we're going to play again in 10 minutes anyways.
Yep.
Now, I am going to say this about game length. I honestly think it is really important that they get game length right. Like, I don't think
you really
think about it.
Man, great point to bring up.
But, like, we played Above and Below, for an example. Yep. You know, I really enjoyed that game, but we all three came to the conclusion that it was just ended just on a dime. Like, you're playing, you finally built this strategy, and then boom, game over. Like, I couldn't do fully what I wanted to do. So it felt like it left a lot on the table, which, you know, is not good. Obviously, you want, you know, I guess it's good because you want to play more.
I mean, it could be a good thing, because you don't want it to go over that. You don't want it to be to a point where it's like, well, we got to our max, and now we're doing the same thing. But yeah, like you said, it felt like it ended just a little bit before you're at like your maximum capabilities.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the reason I think it's super important to make sure you get your game length right. And it's probably, you know, like I said, something that we never really think about, but you know, it could be a killer, you know, if a game's 5 hours long, you know, and it doesn't keep you engaged, we're never going back to that thing. So,
well, yeah, for one, talking about a long game, Fury of Dracula, which we all love, man, it's just too long. It's just too long. And what we've done over these last 5, 6, 7, I don't even know how long we've been playing board games now, but it's, you know, 8 years or whatever. We've been trying to find Fury of Dracula, but short, because we love that game and it's so good, but it's like, man, we can't bring that out. It's impossible. So, jumping back to short games real quick. Can a short game, a legitimate short game, be like, I mean, I guess it can. This is a dumb question, but can it be like one of your favorite games, one of your best games? Like, do you have that on your list? I know, Joe, you have Werewolf, but that's party. Is there a short game right now where it's like, man, this is like cream of the crop. I love it so much.
I mean, there's a few for me. I mean,
is there?
I mean, not, I not like
party.
I mean, would you consider what's it called? Sushi Go? I mean, that's the party game, right?
I mean, it definitely is a party game, but that's, I would say it's higher deck building than
party. Like I really enjoy the deck building games. I think they're a lot of fun. But to answer, I mean, probably not. I mean, a lot of them just lack the depth to make it, you know, like I can play this game anywhere, you know, like heck, you could literally build out your own Sushi Go game if you really wanted to. You could just write on a card, you know what I'm saying? So like the other board games, I feel like there's something that it brings to the table that, I don't know, keeps you more interested, I guess. Not that party games and shooter games are bad. It's just, you know, I guess I like the strategic aspect to it. And I like, you know, feeling like I'm involved for a long time, because then it makes the victory feel good, you know, or the defeat like, this sucks. Like I just wasted 3 hours of my time, 2 hours of my time, and I lost anyways, you know? So to answer your question, I feel like the short games, they can be on the list, but, you know, I feel like they need to be great, great, great.
Okay.
Actually, one of my favorite games of all time is, I just looked it up, Parks. It says 30 to 60 minutes. It's not 30 minutes, never 30
I would
minutes.
Say it's about unless, 60.
Unless you play with two people, but
60
minutes, Parks, it's one of my favorite games of all time. So
I think Parks nails the strategy too. It's got a lot of depth to it. It's got a lot of thinking. So yeah, good choice. Looking at my list, or looking at my shelf right now, I have Downforce up there, and that says it takes about 30 to 45 minutes, and I kind of believe that. I don't think it usually takes much longer.
And then it depends on who you play with, for sure.
Yeah. We
play with a shot at me. No, I'm not shot at you. It all depends on how many people you're playing with, too, a lot of the times. So
I mean, yeah, board games say that. Like a lot of them, not a lot of them, but some of them say it's this amount of time per player. You know, it's 30 minutes per player. It's 45 minutes per player. So if you're a two-player gamer, then you're probably playing a lot of games that are easily under an hour. And we tend to have groups that are at least four, almost always four, and upwards to five or six. So, yeah. Guys, I think we nailed the gaming length topic. Any final words on gaming length?
No, I think for me.
I think we're good.
All right. Well, we will move on. That was the topic for gaming length. Surprisingly better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was a good discussion.
All right. And now we're going to jump into...
Joe looks so serious.
Sorry, I'm trying to look up my game for this next segment.
Oh, transition right there. Our next segment is we're lazy and the Meeples Court is hard to do. So we're going to do board game 20 questions. I do actually have a good one for Meeples Court next time, so we will be doing that. But this was fun last time, and you guys stunk, and you missed the question. I will not miss it now, but Joe, you are the leader with board game 20 questions.
Okay, I switched it up because Cody mentioned my game.
Really? Do you care to tell us what it is?
Above and Below. He mentioned it, so I didn't want you guys to...
Gosh.
I didn't want it to be fresh on your mind.
I don't know if we would have got that.
Probably not.
You might have, but I got a new one. It looks pretty hard. So
thanks.
So go ahead.
All right. We got 20 questions, Code.
You can start.
Oh, I can start. Okay. Does this game use meeples? Guy already does. No, I already bought the game. It does not use meeples. All right, Code, it's on you.
Is this game more 5 players or more?
No.
Not 5 players or more. Does this game take place in a Ticket to Ride size box or larger? So Ticket to Ride is like the standard box.
I don't know, dude. What kind of question is that? I'm going to say...
That's a good question.
I'm going to say it's just about the same size.
Good question. Horrible answer.
That was a terrible question.
That's a good. If it was not, then we would have a smaller box.
Hold on. Let me. I can look it up really quick. Hold on. Ticket to Ride. Hold on. I know we're got a podcast going. It is bigger.
So that's a yes. It is a Ticket to Ride. Socks are bigger.
It is bigger.
All right, you didn't have to tell us bigger. All you had to do was say yes.
According to the weight, it is bigger.
Oh, isn't the weight?
Its weight's a little different, but that's okay. We'll accept the answer.
Well, then how am I supposed to know that? I don't have the game with me. I don't have both games with me.
Is this
three questions?
Is this on your top 20 games, favorite games?
No. That's 4.
Do we own this game?
Yes. 5.
I had to be asked, Code.
Is this on Corey's top 20 favorite games?
Like he's supposed to remember?
I don't think so. No.
He would know your at least your top ones.
That's 6. I don't think you're getting this one, guys.
Does this game have deck building, worker placement, or hidden movement mechanics?
How many questions are you going to ask?
That is one question. Deck building, hidden movement, or worker placement. Does it have one of those 3 mechanics in the game?
They not show the...
This guy's taking longer to answer the questions than we are to ask.
Okay, what was the question?
Does this game have deck building, hidden movement, or worker placement in it?
No.
All right, that's a good question. All right.
Oh, man.
That's 7.
All right, it's a bigger box, so it's probably not a party game. That's for sure.
I don't know, Corey, if you got another one.
Does this game have miniatures in it?
No.
That is different than Meeples. That's why I asked, Code.
Yep.
8. So no meeples, no miniatures.
Is this game a co-op game?
Yes.
Oh, we nailed it. It's over. So he wasn't sure if he was in my top 20. He said no. So what, man, what a good question, Code. What co-op game do we own that's not in my top 20? All of them?
It could be.
All of them except Gloomhaven?
Hang on, and it's a short game. Or small players. 4 or less players only.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that takes out Captain Sonar, at least.
That's true. I don't know if he would call Captain Sonar co-op. I think that would be more team.
Yeah.
Does this game have dice in it?
Yes.
All right, we're at 9 questions, I believe.
10.
Right. This guy's cheating us out of questions.
I think 10. I don't know.
You
guys only get 15 this time because
we're getting close.
Yeah.
What co-op games do we have? So that's not Pandemic.
Did you say, Corey, what did you say?
Be careful, or it'll mark it as another question.
I know.
It's 11.
about the miniatures, well, Corey? You said what?
It does not. It does not have miniatures.
So that takes out what? Gloomhaven?
No, Gloomhaven. Oh yeah, it does. Because your characters, does that take out whatchamacallit? The one we just reviewed. does not take out Spirit Island.
And that's the one I'm thinking it is.
Hold on here. Is this game? Does this game generally take more than 2 hours to play?
No.
Two or more hours.
No.
No. So that takes out Spirit Island.
What about Robinson Crusoe?
And I think it takes out Robinson Crusoe as well.
That's 11 questions. You got 9 more.
I'm looking around the room, Cody. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you got a little cheat over there because you can look at them. I'm going off the top of my head. I mean, just because he says it's co-op doesn't mean it's strictly co-op, Corey. We could be thrown off.
That is true. Is this game based on an IP?
No. 8 questions left.
That knocks out Mountains of Madness.
I would have guessed no on that one too.
That's why I kind of said it out loud in case you made a mistake. That's because we
made a mistake.
Next out Dracula, which I don't know if he would have considered that.
This game solo?
No.
Good question, Code. I don't know what that helped us do, but we're just. This is for the audience at this point. We're knocking out questions for the audience. Like me and Cody already know.
If the audience member guessed it already, 5-star points for you.
Right. Man, this is kind of a dumb question. Is there a point in this game where I don't want to ask that, do I?
Hurry up, you've already started. Ask it.
You don't finish, it's down to 6.
Can the co-op change during the game to some other mechanic, like 4-1 or team-based?
No. 4-1, it's 4 or less players.
No.
Oh, shoot. Well, 3-1.
Cannot change.
I don't know what it could be.
6 questions.
Is this? No, that's a dumb question.
Man, it's a big box and it takes less than 2 hours. Not a big box, but it's a ticket to ride box and it takes less than 2 hours. Good. I'm kind of at a loss, man. Is there one person guiding the team?
No.
Oh, man.
Sorry, that was for, like, one key and stuff like that.
One key. If this guy would have put one key, I'd be ticked.
You'd have been so happy at me for getting it, though.
Yeah. Can we ask anything about the theme, Corey?
No, I think we should, though. I was just about to do that, so go ahead.
I mean, what do we ask? Like, does the theme interest him?
That's kind of open-ended. I would say, all right, is it a modern theme? Like, it would take place in our day and age?
Nope.
No, it's not. It could be abstract. Like, it might be something like concept that kind of seems co-op.
Yeah, that's definitely co-op.
It has no meeples. I'm a little confused. It does have playing pieces. I don't know if you'd consider those meeples.
I don't think
I guess not.
I think we're on to something.
I think we're on to something, too. It could be just one, something
like
that.
What about asking if there's cards? I mean,
is there dice? I can't remember. Did you say yes or no?
Yeah, you've already asked that, yeah.
I know. There is dice.
I think
Okay. Like you, yeah, you can reconfirm questions for us, Joe.
Yep.
So there's dice.
Man, I can't think of anything with dice that's co-op here.
Okay, a little side note.
Uh-oh.
I think we definitely owned this game before.
Oh, I don't know if, gosh.
I don't know if it's still in your game room or not, but we've owned it before.
Oh, my gosh. What game could I have got? We only got rid of, like, three games.
Throwing us off the trail.
I know. We're done for.
How many more questions?
Four more. Come on.
Can I ask if we're done for?
That's three left.
Does this have an abstract theme? So, like, not really a theme at all, kind of.
No, it's not abstract. Three more.
What to ask.
Does
this game take under an hour?
No.
That's a good question, Code.
So it's between an hour and 2 hours. I mean, not really.
Two more questions. And I'll be nice. I'll give you both a guess.
Really?
Unlike Corey last month.
I have no idea.
It's not the way it works.
Does this game use cards?
Yeah, there's cards in it.
Monopoly.
We got one question and a guess.
I don't think you guys are going to get it.
Probably not.
I have no clue what it could be.
I think the co-op's probably throwing us off.
Definitely co-op.
That's what he says. Has dice and cards in it.
Does Pandemic have dice?
No. Dice and cards, man. What game is that? And like, I'm thinking, like, it might be Bang the Dice Game, the Walking Dead version.
That's what I was thinking.
That's an IP. Unless he's just talking about just Bang the Dice Game, which we've never owned.
That's what he's talking about, isn't it?
Come on, one more question.
Just ask the question, Corey. I don't know.
Is the theme of this have something to do with? Does the main theme have to do with animals?
No.
All right.
So we each get a guess. You're giving us that.
Yep.
I need to bring up a list of the games we have.
Yeah, I'm not going to take too long on this because we just literally have no clue, or at least I have no clue. So the first one that looks good to me, I'm going to guess. I don't even see anything that it could be. Mysterium. And I know that's wrong because you said it doesn't have someone leading.
No.
I honestly don't have any clue.
We played this game a long time ago.
Just guess something, Code.
I'm sure we did. Let's see here. I'm going to guess. Man, I don't know. Long time ago, we were better off with Above and Below.
I know. At least it's right in front of me.
All right, let's see.
I don't even know if this game's in there, Corey, in your room. We had it, though. We've had it before.
We had it before. Literally, we got rid of three games only. It's not the Marvel game because that's an IP. It's not Dead a Winter because that one has a traitor. The co-op changes.
I got a list in front of me. Hang on. I'm going to guess.
This guy even takes a long time when we're just playing guessing games.
I know. It won't be an hour and a half.
I'm going to guess.
Halfway there already.
I'm going to guess. I don't know if this game has dice. Or
just guess it, man.
Time Stories.
Boom! Got it!
Code, what a guess.
Got it! We won!
We won!
It's literally nice. Right next to me.
Is it? I didn't know if it was in your room. I don't remember seeing it in a while, but
can you see it? It's that no. light box on the shelf?
Oh, yeah, a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Good guess, Code.
Yeah, thank good you, guess.
Got dice, got cards. Yeah, co-op. Ah, good game, Joe. Wow, that like got that. Us, man.
I like that game.
Yeah. The two guesses saved us.
Yeah.
It did.
All right, that was fun. That was a great game. Now, let's transition, not very well, to Game of the Month. Our Game of the Month this month is Micro Macro Crime City. And here to do the overview is myself, because you guys both failed last week or last month. So if I had to describe Micro Macro Crime City, I would say it's like Where's Waldo? You know, you have this giant map and there's this whole city on it with tons of people and tons of activities, cars, buildings, different places, parks, boats, all that stuff. And the map tells a story. And what happens is the game has 16 cases in it. And you're trying to track down, not murder cases necessarily, but you're just trying to track down situations that happened in the city. The card will say, hey, something happened at this area. Find this guy. And then after you find that, you turn the card over and it says, how did that guy get there? Blah, blah, blah. And you follow that along until you've completed the case. And usually it has a nice little end cap, you know, a nice little beginning that, you know, goes to the end. And it's kind of a funny story most of the time or cool. And you're just finding things on a map. And that's kind of the overview. I didn't do much better than you two last month, but I did a little better. So let's jump into the gameplay of Micro Macro Crime City. The overview kind of explained it. What do you guys think of the gameplay of this game?
I can go first. I like the gameplay a lot. Like Corey said, it's definitely Where's Waldo? And like maybe one of those like I Spy books. You're kind of looking for the guy. It's definitely a different type of game. It's really cool. It definitely takes Where's Waldo into a board game, which I kind of like. And it's kind of like a storybook. And you're kind of following along that story and you're figuring out the case. It's like a murder case you're trying to figure out. Really cool.
Yeah, I agree with them. I feel like it's something we've never played before. And the cool part is you can literally play this with anyone because you're literally just find this guy, backtrack him to this place, you know. So it's like anyone who can stand at the table and point can play this game, you know. So that, to me, that's cool. And yeah, it's just cool seeing all the different things it's kind of like paperish, not really like a board, but it's cool seeing like all the different things they put into this, because you think you see the guy, you're like, oh, this is this guy, and then you're like, no, this isn't him, you know. It's just cool seeing all the detail they put into the art of it. So
yeah, because you said the first thing you said was it's something you've never played before, and I really enjoy those kind of experiences. You know, I'm buying new board games to try to get an experience I never had before, and this takes the childhood aspect of I Spy books or Where Waldo, and it turns into a game, which is really cool. Now, I've heard other people debate things like for like the mind, and I think this game would fall into that category. Is this a game or is it an activity? You know, it doesn't necessarily have points. It doesn't have winners or losers. Even if you don't guess right, you just turn the card and you can find, you know, what you need to find. But, you know, for the sake of us doing this board game podcast, it is a game, and it's fun. To explain a little bit more of how it works, Code, you had mentioned it has a big sheet of paper. Now, that kind of sucks because the paper is a little flimsy. It folds up. But the size of it really gives it, like, gravitas. You know, you can't have it on just, like, a little, like, regular size paper. This thing is huge. It looks like a giant map. And like I said, it is filled to the brim. Every section of this place is packed with people, events, or something going on. And the cool thing that this does that Where's Waldo and I Spy doesn't do is it tells a story. Like I said, when you're going through these cases, because that's what you do, you look through these cards and it says track down something or an event. It's almost like time lapse. It's not just, hey, this one guy is in this one location on this map forever. No, he got there from somewhere. So you can follow his footsteps and say, okay, he came to this building from this subway, and the subway leads back to the entrance over here where he was on a bus, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's a really fun aspect, trying to see like this guy's daily routine or this woman's daily routine. So the gameplay at the core of it, like you said, if you have eyes and a finger, you can point to it. That's the game. You're just looking. That's all you're doing. You're looking. But it does it really engagingly. Like I said, it has 16 cases. They're starred from like 1 to 5. Do they go up to 5, Joe?
Yeah, 5 stars. Yep.
Yeah, so they go 1 to 5. 1 usually doesn't have that many cards. It might just be a few things to find. Up to 5, you know, there can be like 10 to 15 cards. So you're really tracking down things. And I think they do a pretty good job of increasing the difficulty as much as you can, because you think, how can this game be difficult? It kind of can, right?
Oh, for sure. I will say, like you said, it is looking, but it's also a little thinking. Because you got to think,
yeah, deduction a little bit.
You got to think, like, where did this guy go? Why did this guy do this? So, like, I can't even think of an example, but just okay. The fireman, you got to look for the fireman. Where's the fire? You have to go to the fire station.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the other cases I had was something about a gas fire. So we were looking at gas stations, and we found the murderer. You know what I mean? In that area. So it was. It was thinking. It wasn't looking. You can't just, if you're just looking, you're going to be looking at all day. You know what I mean? You're going to be looking all day. You got to use your brain a little bit in this game for sure. But yeah.
Code, anything to add on that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you guys pretty much described the game. I mean, it's not too complicated, you know, it's just, it is what it is. You just, like Joey said, you think about, you know, what would make most sense, like Joey said, the fireman would be at the fire station, you know, and then you just follow the trails of them and, you know, hopefully you guess right and you find the path, you know, you are, because if you don't guess right, then you're going on a whole nother path and then you're, you know, way off the case, which is also cool because then you're wondering where you went wrong and, you know, you got to backtrack from that. But we did play 2 3-star missions, and I thought one was way harder than the other one, personally.
Right.
But, you know, but they do, you're right, they do a good job. The 1 stars are, like, 2 cards, like, okay, this was easy. And then you're like, is the whole game going to be like this? No. You know, the 3 stars was, oh, man, we're sitting here for, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, I can't imagine. Going through cards. I can't imagine, like, a 5-star. It's going to be really complex, yeah. I feel like. You have to use your brain and use your eyes, for sure.
Another yeah, so little, I think they ramped up the difficulty well.
Yeah, I would agree. Another little thing I like, I know it's cooperative, but when I was playing with you guys, I really wanted to find that thing before you guys. You know what I mean?
You could have let us know because we didn't know.
I could tell. I could tell.
I want, I want to find it before you guys. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I mean, I don't care if you guys find it because we're a team, but.
Right.
It Corey's made me feel just, all over the paper.
It made me feel just a little bit better when I pointed the thing out.
Well, like, I was upside down. Smart, I'm sorry.
I was the smart man to find that part. So, but yeah, that's a little cool little thing to it, too.
I want to mention 2 more things about the gameplay I thought was pretty neat. For one, like I said, the 1 stars are like, hey, check out this guy. Why did he steal this? And then you go a block back and you see him. And then you go another block back and you see him again. As you get up in stars, these people really travel across the city. You can be in the upper left and they get somehow to the upper, to the bottom right. And it makes sense, you know, because they jump in a cab and then they take a paraglider and it's like, oh, cool. You know, you're not just in one area of the map. Like, you really got to be all over this place. Mm. And then, what was the second point? Okay. The second point I wanted to make is, for some of these cases, the one case that we, played when you two were over last is, during these people's travels, we had to find out specifically what they did. So there wasn't a chance that we spotted the person way later and that was our answer. Like, even if we did that, we still had to go all the way back and we had to figure out each step of what they did. And that was really cool for them to do because it kept you engaged. And even though, you know, it was only like 5 or 6 cards, it was like that one case took us about a half hour.
Mm.
And it was engaging. And we were all, like I said, they're all over the map. So we all have plenty of room to kind of see. No one's just huddled in one corner. So yeah. I thought those were two really good gameplay aspects.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, if we move on?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so next up we have components. What did you guys think of this? We'll start with you, Code. I haven't gone to you first all day.
I mean, it's pretty much a deck of cards. You know, the cards are okay. I didn't really touch them or anything. But and then the paper, which is flimsy, looks kind of cheap. But, it's the art on it, I guess, is cool. But that's a different, thing to talk about. There's really not much components. The cards, which are cards, they're okay. The paper, it feels cheap, but, I guess it is what it is. So there's not much to say about not much components. So
yeah, the components kind of suck, to be honest. Which I wish the map was a board. I wish it was a board. And there's another thing that came with it. It's like a little magnifying glass that I feel doesn't work. Like maybe it works. I don't know. Maybe it works for older people, but for me, it didn't work. It didn't matter. Doesn't make that much of a difference.
Yeah, not a lot to the components in here. The cards were fine. They felt like cards. I didn't like that they made you put them in the little folders yourself. They give you little envelopes that you got to like separate the cases. That was a little annoying. Like, man, I wish you would have just had this in here.
Did it for us, yeah.
Right, magnifying glass is kind of like null and void. I don't even use it. But as for the map, you said it feels kind of like cheap. That's literally just a piece of paper.
the paper is cheap.
But it's so big, they kind of had to do it on a piece of paper. You can't fold up a cardboard board that many times to fit it in a box. Like, it's what they need to do. So when playing this, you got to be careful. You can't be having drinks around it. You can't be eating food because, as we'll get in later into the art, it's a white piece of paper with black on it. So
yeah, that is a knock for me, though, is how big the paper actually is. Is because you kind of need a big table to play. Like at my house, I have a round circular glass table. I don't think it could fit on there. Like you have a big table and it was, it fit on there, but we were kind of crowded still. So, you need a big space.
It does tell you can hang it on a wall, but that kind of takes a couple extra steps. You need probably sticky tack and stuff like that. So that's probably not the best solution either. But, I mean, what you're saying. I mean, it is just a piece of paper and it's huge, but any smaller, it would be almost impossible to see the stuff.
I agree.
Let's jump over to that theme and art. Either you can start off.
Theme, everybody who ever heard this podcast, I love the theme, deduction and murder. That's my go-to. Once you said you had this game, I'm like, man, I went out and bought the other one right away. The theme is perfect. The art, it's on a piece of paper, but I will say something that they put a lot of work into this piece of paper. I found myself looking just at other things, not even worried about the case. Just, man, this guy's murdered over here. This guy's murdered over here. This guy's making out with the girl. That's pretty funny. It's so much to it, which is, it's appreciative. It's pretty cool, man. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I agree. It makes it look like you're in a city, there's so much going on in a city and I feel like they do it pretty well. Like there's a house burning down, there's a murder going on, there's a soccer game going on. It makes you feel like you're in a city. So, I can appreciate, like Joey said, the effort they put into, the details in it. To me, that's really cool. So
I love it. Yeah, so jumping in the theme, micro, macro, crime city. So obviously you're dealing with crime on this. Like you said, Joey, the entire map is full. And all of it has a story. There's only 16 cases, so there's no way that every single one of these people in this city involved in a case. But they put effort into making everyone feel like there was something, they were involved in something on this game. And that was really cool. And like I said, it's so tiny, and it packs so much into a little bit. And it doesn't feel, I'm not getting the feeling of a bustling city, but when you look at it, you can believe that what's on that paper is a bustling city. With a lot of crime. And as for the art, man, they stuck to a certain theme with their art. It's all white with like pencil drawings and the characters don't have a ton of detail, but they look kind of cartoonish. And it's kind of beautiful. I love looking at it. You know, it looks kind of like a Sunday morning cartoon. And
yeah.
And, you know, they're funny. You can find funny in it. You can find, you know, people dead and people sad. It's fun to look at. So really
very funny buying people dead. Very funny.
Yes. Yes. oh, man. So yeah, our last one, which is replayability or longevity. How do you guys feel about this? Because like I said earlier, it comes with 16 cases. Is that enough?
This one's tough because I want to play all 16, but after playing it once, can you play it again? I don't think you can because you're going to remember stuff. The good news is there is a second one out there. So you got 16 more cases and it's all different. So I think longevity it's tough to gauge in this one because it's like once you finish the cases, you can't replay them in my mind. But you got 16 to play, which is pretty cool.
I have a quick question. How much did this game cost?
This was 30.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's a pretty good price for 16 players. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I would say.
And me and Joey were kind of, Joey was kind of talking about it. I have Micro Macro Crime City. Joey, you have Micro Macro Crime City. What's the tagline?
Full House.
Full House. So they're essentially the same game. It's just a different map with 16 new cases. Say it would almost be like an expansion, except with a whole new map.
Yep.
So there is 32 total cases for this brand of game, and it would be $60, or you can get half of that for 30.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I personally think it's a decent amount of cases for $30. You know, you can, like we said, the one stars are going to be quick, but who knows? Once you get the five stars, you could be playing that sucker for an hour at least. You know? Looking for everything. So if you can get 10 hours worth out of this game for $30, you know, I mean, like Joey said, you're not going to be able to replay it. I don't think ever. You know, it would maybe be kind of fun seeing other people watching other people struggle.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of, just watching other people play. That's what I would do. Yeah. Hey, you play this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, but you personally playing, yeah, I think once the cases are done, it's going to be, you know, you're going to be done with the game. But, you know, to me, it'd be worth the money, I guess, for $30.
I mean, you guys nailed it. It's a game that once you're done, unlike most every other board game in existence, you really cannot play it again. There is zero point. There would be zero surprise. The humor that's there, like, yeah, I guess it would be funny, but you've already seen it. So you really cannot play it. Now, 16 cases for $30. We said one of the cases that was three stars took us about a half hour. If we kind of like keep going by that track record, you're probably going to get 6-7 hours out of this game with the full 16 cases. And that's not bad for a half hour. You know, I know we've played games less than that we paid for that supposedly have replayability, but we haven't played them that much. And, you know, with two versions coming out, when I bought mine, Joey bought the separate one. We've talked about, hey, we're going to exchange once we, you know, play them with our significant others.
Yeah.
And that's good. So really, we paid $30 for 32 cases. So if you got somebody like this is a great board game to pass along to another couple or, you know, a family and say, hey, play this. You know, I paid $30 for it. You can enjoy it now because I've done it all. And we can keep passing it around. It works good for that.
And I'm sure they'll probably come out with more games. As if you really like this game, they'll probably come out with more cases.
Yeah, I almost feel like, because like I said, the whole city is filled with stories. I almost feel like they could maybe even do an app.
And yeah.
No, already, man. With the map you already have, say, hey, this is a new case for you.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I don't know if there's any plans, but it almost feels like it just because of how much detail is in that map. Guys, final thoughts. Would you recommend it? Give us a score out of 10. Joe, go first.
Okay. I definitely recommend this game. This game it's really fun. It's super easy to teach, super easy to learn. Like Corey said earlier, it's not even really a game. It's almost like an activity, but like you said, for the sake of the podcast, it's a game. But to my final thoughts, I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Wow.
8.5. I like this game a lot.
that's super good.
Wow. I liked it so much. I went the next day and bought the other one. Right, that's how much I like this game. So that's 8.5.
Hey, great score. Code.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend the game. It's like I said, you can play with literally anybody. If you got kids, you know, obviously the murder aspect of it, you might not want them to see, but, you know, you can pick up and go with anybody. You know, you can have people come over, you can have them just play a case, you know. So to me, anyone can play it at any time, which, you know, is always fun because, like Joey said, you don't got to really learn any rules. But definitely would recommend it for $30 to go pick it up. And I would give it a 7.5.
Yeah, you guys took all the words that I needed to say. It was a very fun experience, a fun game. I'm going to finish out the 16 cases. It's something that you can pop open 4 months from now. You don't got to reread any rules. You ain't got to learn anything again. You just feel like solving a little case, then do it. I feel kind of, I'm going to give it a lower score than both you, but you guys kind of surprised me. I'm going to give it a 7. But, I mean, let me say this. This is like kind of the perfect 7. It's not a 10 out of 10 game, but it's like the perfect 7 out of 10 game. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not a super deep experience in terms of mechanics. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with the game. The game is a lot of fun. And I think if you have literally even 1% interest, you should buy this game because it's a different experience that you don't get with, you know, fun art, a cool little theme. Yeah, I recommend it to everybody, even though I'm only giving it a 7 out of 10. It's just, it's a really good game.
Cool.
I would have went last. I would have gave it a lower score.
No, it was
like,
good, man.
You like the outlier now.
I mean,
I thought 7.5 was good.
And 7's good. Like I said, I think it's a good game. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really fun.
And I got to stop going last because it's making transitions horrible for me. So,
well, you know, it's really fun. Podium. Let's get the podium.
Oh, we're going to skip 2 minute, 2 player minute.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Get the party minute?
No party minute this week.
This is what happens minute. When you miss the meeting code.
Not even a meeting. It's just a text.
Literally just a text.
Just check your text, bud.
The last text I seen, there was party minute still.
Yeah, so we've done party minute. We've done digital minute. I think this is a good section to do any game that we really probably wouldn't review. You know, probably a little bit of a smaller game that a minute kind of tells you what it's all about. So I'm going to take over the two-player minute because I've been playing a lot of two-player games recently, and I bought a new one. This one is The Fox in the Forest. So do you guys have the timer ready? We're at 102:25.
Go.
All right, so The Fox in the Forest is a two-player trick-taking game. So if anyone doesn't know what a trick-taking game is, it is basically a card game where you're playing suits and you're trying to win tricks. So you might put down a ace of spades and someone puts down a 10 of spades because they have to follow suit and you win that trick. And in most trick-taking games, you're trying to win as many tricks as you can. And, you know, there's always like a trump card. It might be the spade, might be the heart, blah, blah, blah. Let me jump into The Fox in the Forest. How does this work as a two-player game? Because, heck, whoever has the better cards is going to win, right? Not necessarily. This game does a really cool thing where you want to win tricks, but you want to win only so many. If you win all the tricks, you get 0 points. If you win all the tricks but one, you only get like 1 point. You want to win like 7 to 9, and that's where you get 6 points. So you and your opponent are kind of working on a strategy where it's like, okay, I'll pretend like I'm not going to win a lot of tricks and then win like the last 6 to get max points. And it makes it a lot of fun. There's also power-up cards where, like, the 6, the 9, and the 5, they give you different abilities that help. I'm going to stop now because that has been over a minute, but Fox in the Forest, really fun, very quick two-player game.
Digital minute. About a minute.
A minute and a half. It's the best
I think it's like done, a minute so. 15.
Yeah, it's the best we've ever done, guys. Cut me a break.
Yeah, you're talking about what a trick game is for about 30 seconds.
People have to know if you don't know, all right? I know you don't know, Code. You're sitting there
yes,
like, oh,
I
let
do.
Me listen. All right, so that was two-player minute. It might be something different next month. We just don't know. And let's jump in. Joey kind of got excited, but, yeah, I'm excited about this, too. Let's talk about the podium. Now, we had a ton of viewership last month. I don't know if you guys are veteran gamers or if you are newbies looking to get into gaming, but we have that list for you. And even if you're a veteran gamer, you can find a lot of appeal in these games we're about to talk about. We are doing the best games to get somebody into the hobby of board gaming. So you have somebody that you really want to play board games with. I think these are the three best games to do it with. Now we do the podium. We give a bronze medal, a silver medal, and a gold medal. Let's jump into it because we're going kind of long here. Joe, you're on my left side. Hit us with your first bronze.
Hold on. I should have got to it.
I wasn't ready.
My first bronze is, I mentioned it earlier in the podcast. It's one of my favorite games of all time. Parks. Parks is my bronze. It's a little more strategic. So for somebody that you got to learn a little rules, but it's not too complicated for someone new getting into hobby. So that's my number. That's my bronze.
Okay. Nice and quick. Code.
My bronze. I'm going to also.
Did not mean to do that.
Also, did not mean to do that.
Whoops.
My bronze also was mentioned earlier in the podcast. Concept. I really like every time we pull out this game. It's simple. Family can play it. You just pick up a card. You pick like a word on the card, and then the other team has to try to guess what word it is by like certain clues on the board. So. I think it's a fun, just quick little party game that you can get into real fast.
Hey, good pick. Yeah, definitely. My number three is a game that I think kind of shatters the expectations of how good a board game can look. Now, you know, growing up, we played Risk, Monopoly, you know, Clue, all that stuff. Those look fine. But I'm talking about a work of art game, and I'm talking about Dixit. Now, Dixit is a great game because it doesn't have too much pressure on it. You get these really beautiful cards painted by artists. And what your goal is, you're trying to make a phrase. And that phrase, everyone has to follow suit with a card of their own. And all these works of art are abstract. So who knows what it's going to be. And then you place it down and everyone tries to guess what card you were talking about when you made that phrase. It's very light on the rules. And it's fun. It's not super competitive where someone's screwing you over, but everyone can get into it. Everyone can understand it very easily. That's my bronze.
Nice.
Joe, hit us with your silver.
Okay. My silver is, I had a tough time like with this topic, but my silver is Resistance, the Resistance. I don't really know why. But just because it's easy and it's just easy rules to learn, and it's a fun game to play with the party. And who knows, if someone likes this, maybe they'll like Deception, and you get in Deception and you get into something else. You know what I mean? Just a nice deductive game where you can pull it out at any time and might get someone interested into it.
I'm not hating on the pick. I think it's pretty good.
All right, my silver is one of our first games, actually. It's Camel Up. I think it's a betting game, you know? Mm-hmm. So to me, the camels race around the board, but you're trying to bet on who you think's going to win first and all that. So to me, it's just a lot of fun. It's, you know, a different type of experience, and I think a lot of people would enjoy it, kids and adults, you know. So, Camel Up, definitely a fun one.
Yeah, it has you rooting for camels, you know, and you mm-hmm. really get into the game more than you would otherwise.
And then you start naming the camels.
You start naming the camels, yeah.
Yeah.
My second one, I also think when you're trying to get people into board games, you want not too many rules. You want just like one or two mechanics that are like easy enough to follow. And Joe, you already mentioned this game. I think Parks is a perfect game to try to get people into board games. For one, it looks beautiful. The art on the cards is amazing. You know, it takes place for the United States National Parks. You know, you see a lot of cards with those on them. But the mechanics of the game, it's worker movement. Is that what it's like technically called? You do is you move a worker onto a spot and you get resources. And those resources can later be used to buy visits to a national park. But that thing automatically happens when you get to the end of the trail. It's not like you have to decide when to do it, really. You can once you get a little deeper into the game. But for the most part, you're just moving your hiker to one spot on the board and taking the resources and trying to get enough resources to get a national park. Very simple, but as you said, Joe, it's very strategic, very tactical. Once you get into like more plays, you know, very, very first game, it's like, oh, this is so easy. But yeah, there's a lot of strategy to it.
Yeah, I agree.
And Joe, let's pretend me and Cody didn't see what your number one was when you sent it to us.
I was trying to just write my thing down in the computer, so I didn't have to
go back. Surprise code.
But when you think of board games, you think of the classics like Monopoly, maybe Risk. Clue, and Risk. How do you get someone into the hobby more? Maybe by making Risk better? Risk Legacy is my goal.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Risk Legacy is my goal. I think this is the first game that kind of got us in majorly into the hobby. Dracula and some other ones for sure helped along the way, but this was one of the main ones as well because I liked Risk growing up a lot, and Risk Legacy just made it that much better. And it really got us into hobby. What more could we do with board games? So I think that's a good pick, and that's my goal.
Cody is cracking up for some reason.
It's because Joey's moving his camera, and he looks like he's like, the you know, Joker like
from the Dark Knight.
Yeah, like you know, in like scary movies, like they got the camera and like shaking.
It's Risk Legacy.
Yeah, so
it's Risk Legacy.
Exactly. All right, I'll go with my gold. I really like this game. We play it every so often. Sheriff of Nottingham. I think it's definitely a fun game. You know, you one person's the sheriff, the other people either gotta bring in goods into the city, and you can either bring in contraband, and or you can bring in real goods, and then it's up to the sheriff, kind of a deduction a little bit to determine if the person is telling the truth. Like they'll tell you what they're bringing in and how many, and then the sheriff can call them out. And you can take bribes and stuff. So to me, it's just a fun little game. You know, it doesn't take too long, and it's, you know, always up for a good laugh with it. So, Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah, great pick. And that is probably one of the first 10 or so games that we bought that got us. My number one, kind of going off of everything I said, where I want a game to look beautiful, I want the game to have not too many mechanics, and this one I think takes it a step further, where the mechanics it does have are very meaty. This is Century Golem. For some reason, I don't talk about it a lot on this podcast. It just hasn't come up as much, but it's honestly one of my favorite games. Very simple, and this is the game that I show to new people. Like, if I'm not playing a party game and there's not, like, a big crowd, if I really want someone to, like, play a board game, this is the one I show them because it's simple. You pick a card, and then you do the thing on the card, and what you're doing is you're getting gems, and those gems are going to be used to buy golems, which are your points in the game. And these gems can build you an engine. And I love engine building. I love when things stack on top of each other and kind of snowball. And all of a sudden, you've got this really beautiful thing that's just kind of rolling along. And even if you're not good at that aspect, you can have fun just doing your gems, upgrading them, and then buying them a golem every so often. You might not win, but that itself is fun to do. It's fun to get things and trade them in for points. And like I said, it looks beautiful. It's pretty quick. And it's just a really fun game and one of my favorites.
Cool.
Good pick.
And that is the end of the episode. But before we go, we got to figure out what we're going to talk about next month. And how do we do that, Code?
The Wheel of Destiny, God, of course.
Joey, please.
Wheel!
Thank you.
Love!
Thank you.
Destiny!
Beautiful. I appreciate it, Joe. You're the light in my life.
Just get to the wheel.
We have a Wheel of Destiny. It has six topics on there. Right now, we have analysis paralysis. We have our biggest disappointments. We have our personal gaming evolution. We have gaming complexity. We have the importance of replayability. And we have games we never got to love. Gentlemen, would you like to make a prediction on what we're going to get next month?
Yeah, I'm like 7-for-7, so I'm going to guess games we never got to love.
That's what I was
going to guess. I got to
switch it up then. I'm going to do analysis paralysis.
All right.
You don't even know what that
sounds horrible. That sounds like a horrible topic.
All right, the wheel is on the screen. They can see it. I'm going to press the spin button. It's spinning.
Did you spell that right, Corey?
I can't see what it is, but they can.
Games we never got the love.
Boys, this is going to be a great topic. Sounds like it's going to be a fun next month. And please join us next month.
And this month,
which is not out yet, but it will be out in a day or so. We do one podcast a month. So you will be hearing about us again in April after you listen to this one. And again, we're so appreciative. If you want to contact us, Joey is on Board Game Geek, pumping up our topics and trying to get the community involved and talk with them. He loves being on there. I'm part of the Thoughts and Players gaming podcast, video game podcast. You can connect with me through there. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on TikTok. Cody lives in a box outside. Just walk by his house.
I'm in danger.
He's in danger. again, we appreciate all the downloads and the listens that you guys have been showing. I hope that you enjoy our episodes. And if you have any feedback, criticisms, please let us know. But we just love hearing you guys and seeing you guys.
So, or a topic.
Or a topic, yes. We're running out. Yes, we're running out. So thank you guys for listening and see you next month. Joey, Cody, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace.
Oh, man. Risk Legacy!